This podcast is brought to you by our Let's Go Brandon t-shirt. Order it at gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy the podcast.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We did it. We made it to Friday. Get ready, pal. Because we have a lot to get to. There's tons of news to report, specifically local stuff with Mayor Wu. If you saw her Instagram live, then you understand why we're in such a good mood today. It was hysterical. I'll break it down for you. Because that's a good thing about having a millennial radio host, is that I understand that the Instagrams, the lives, the comments, I can explain exactly how. And I'm sure there's a lot of you out there who are going, hey, we don't need you to explain it to us. But I'm going to give a little rundown. I'm an Instagram expert. I'm the Dr. Fauci of Instagram. And what happened to Michelle Wu on yesterday, I think it was last night, was it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. We will get into that. We also have inflation updates, updates about Hillary Clinton potentially running for president. I know it's insane. But by far the biggest story of the day, which I didn't see coming. So I feel a little bit spoiled right now because I just woke up to this. I didn't understand or I didn't hear through the grapevine that Lester Holt was interviewing Joe Biden. And we should have known that it was going to be noteworthy because of his last interview with Kamala Harris. I believe that was the interview where Kamala Harris complained that she had never been to Europe. And the great thing about Lester Holt is he's not trying to trip up this administration. He is not trying to be like an intrepid reporter here. He is asking the most basic questions humanly possible. And he's still delivering gold as far as TV goes. Unbeknownst to him.
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
I don't think he even wants to. I think he would rather it be a puff piece interview that nobody watched. Unfortunately, Joe Biden right now is a one-man wrecking ball. You sit him down in a chair, and it doesn't matter what you toss his way, Amtrak Joe is going to deliver a train wreck. And you can't take your eyes off of it. It's really something to behold. Now, there was a couple of parts of this. Keep in mind, this interview in full is going to air before the Super Bowl. And I guess this is a tradition where a lot of presidents do this. They sit down for an interview. Now, Joe Biden is in the middle of an extreme makeover. You know, the poll numbers are not good. They're actually, they continue to fall. Every time you think he's like bottomed out, nope, he gets lower. Inflation is sky high. And one of his things that he was going to do to kind of turn this ship around is that he was going to talk more to people. He's going to sit down with reporters and you know, talk to the people more.
I can say quite clearly.
Get out of that D.C. bubble and do some of that talking, because that's always gone so well for him when he opens his mouth. And there was a few parts of this, and this is just what we have so far. And these cuts are so bad, it kind of begs the question, are these the best cuts we're going to get? Or are these the worst of the worst? Like, I don't know, because you think about a movie, right? When a movie comes out, you get the trailer. And sometimes you go see the movie and you go, oh, the funniest part was in the trailer. Like, they saved all the good stuff in the trailer and the movie was junk. So when I see these clips of Joe Biden, I'm like, are these the juiciest cuts they have? Or is this just the tip of the iceberg?
In a world.
Where Joe Biden is the president. So let's get to some of these cuts, because there were a few. I would say for me, there were three major cuts that we have so far. And the first one I want to start with is the name calling, because we know Joe Biden has a penchant for calling people names when he gets hot under the collar, when he gets upset, when he has one of the most fragile glass jaws of any politician, especially someone who's been in this for like a million years. And he was asked by Lester Holt about inflation and it being temporary, which is something that Joe Biden told us over and over and over again. He had talked to all these Nobel laureates and he had talked to all these world renowned economists, and it was going to be like the immigrants, the illegal immigrants coming from Haiti. They're not here to stay. They're just passing through. That was inflation. And so when he's asked about this, very fair question. Inflation is the highest it's been since 1982. You would think that he would know that this is going to be brought up in the same way you would have thought Kamala Harris would have known going into her interview with Lester Holt that he was going to ask her about the border. And yet these two are always blindsided. So his go-to when he's asked a question he doesn't like is to call a name. He's called Peter Ducey a stupid son of a bitch. He's called Peter Ducey a one-horse pony. He always calls people names.
He called a lunch bucket worker friend of his fat.
Fat. Yeah. And lying dog-faced pony soldier to a potential voter.
Yes.
Still not sure which way she ended up going on that one.
He also told somebody who asked him a question that he has a higher IQ than he does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's just par for the course. I mean, that goes without saying. He has the highest IQ out of anyone in the room, besides maybe Hunter.
He called military service members stupid bastards.
Dull crowd.
He called the other ones dull crowd.
Yeah. So listen to what he called Lester Holt when asked about inflation. Cut one.
I think it was back in July you said inflation was going to be temporary. I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is.
Well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit. I understand that's your job. But look, at the time, what happened was the...
He's a wise guy.
I'm gonna say something that's going to blow Joe Biden's mind. Lester Holt is the opposite of a wise guy. He's actually the only guy I've seen on TV fall for North Korean propaganda at a ski resort. So you'd be hard pressed, as far as I'm concerned, to find someone on TV who's less of a wise guy than Lester Holt.
Well, he doesn't understand what temporary means. I'm sure he doesn't know the definition of wise.
that's going to be a first for Lester Holt. He's like, I'm a wise guy? Huh, okay.
Wise guy, I'll plank him.
Now, of course, there's so many questions regarding what's going on the world stage. We have the situation with Russia and Ukraine. We also have this major bombshell report that was FOIA'd about the Afghanistan withdrawal, the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. And so he's asked about both of these things. Naturally, he's getting them confused. But let's start with Putin, because he used to talk a really big game about what he'd say to Putin. Like, he'd look him in the eyes and he'd tell him, you know, it was tough guy, Joe. It was, you know, leather bomber jacket, take you behind the gym, Joe. And so Lester asks him, you know, have you talked to Putin about the consequences if he messes with us? And listen to what Joe said. Cut two.
Like, I'm hoping that if, in fact, he's foolish enough to go in, he's smart enough not to, in fact, do anything that would negatively impact on American citizens.
Have you told him that?
Yes.
You've told him that you know, Americans will be a line that they can't cross?
Well, I didn't have to tell him that. I've spoken about that. He knows that. And, you know, it's a little bit... look, that's what I've asked is American citizens should leave now. We're dealing with one of the largest armies in the world. This is a very different situation and things could go crazy quickly.
Wow, he is becoming a real master of these horrible evacuation plans. By the way, it reminds me of the Michael Scott cut when he says, I knew exactly what to do, but in a very real sense, I had no idea what to do. He says, yes, I told him that. Well, no, I didn't have to tell him that. Make up your mind, dude. At least with the lies.
Did your mother give you permission to go to that party? Well, she knows the party's happening.
That doesn't answer the question.
That doesn't answer my question.
No, but he's Jared, it's even worse than that, because the thing about lying is you have to commit. You can't change it up halfway through. And he's lying. And if you're sitting in your car right now, or, you know, listening at home, and you're screaming, Grace, Afghanistan, that's the big story. I know.
You're lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
I'm having David Harsanyi on at 1 o'clock. He's going to break down all of the elements of this report. It's wild how inept this administration is. And my favorite little side note of it, there's a lot of it that's sad, and it's shameful that this even happened, but something that I find to be so Joe and Jill is that during the Afghanistan withdrawal, they were bothering the generals and the military officials. They were calling them around the clock. Can you get Joe Kelly out of there from his wife? And the guys are like, can you get out of here, you two old babbling fools who got us into this mess? But we will get to Afghanistan. Don't worry. We have all today to get into it. And it's very important. And it will kind of stun you just how horrible this entire thing was, and how different everything is from when we first found out. Like, everything they told us at the beginning, whether it be about the Kabul airport, the drone strike, the suicide bomber, everything has changed. Everything was the exact opposite of what they told us.
I need me some Matt Lee talking to Ned Price today. That's what I need.
Ned Price is somewhere. Ned Price is in his safe space going, don't make me go out there. Please, Jen, please. I can't.
Kirby is going to be with Psaki today for the briefing to do some mop-up duty on this Lester Holt thing and the Army report.
Have you read the Washington Post story? It's really insane.
No.
Just the... And here's the part of it that I've been saying since the beginning. A lot of people have been saying, this is a very easy thing to clear up because somebody's lying. Joe Biden is saying he rejects this report. So he's saying that whatever these generals and these military officials are claiming about the Afghanistan withdrawal is a lie. I find that to be a big deal. Whether it's all of our generals and military officials are lying or it's the president of the United States, this is a very easy situation to figure out. Some might say it's black and white. And how insane is it that the person who might figure it out is Lester Holt? That is just a very telling sign about our mainstream media. We will get into that. But just a side note, we are having Lou Murray on in the next segment because I want to talk about Mayor Wu. She got a lot of pushback on her Instagram yesterday. She also has decided not to lift the mask mandates. I have a feeling Lou is going to be ready to explode. So we are going to have him on the show after the break. 844-500-4242. And then we will get back to all of this sound from the upcoming interview. Like I said, if this is what we have so far, I actually might be tuning in. How shocking is that? Before the Super Bowl, I might tune in to Lester Holt.
Well, you'd be the only one because the liberals are done with NBC after last night.
Lester Holt's a puppet of Putin. What kind of compromise does Putin have on Lester Holt? Yeah, I hate to give them ideas. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. It's The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
If you want to keep up with what's going on as far as these vaccine mandates and the protest against them, there's no one better to talk to or follow on Twitter than Lou Murray. Lou, before we even get going here, tell people a little bit about where they can follow your Twitter and your background here so that no one misses out on these threads.
Okay. Grace, I'm the chairman of the Ward 20 Republican Committee in the city of Boston, the largest ward committee in the state. We'll be bringing 43 people to the Massachusetts GOP convention, and you know, we're going to make some changes here in Massachusetts. And anyhow, my Twitter handle is a real boomer handle. It's Lewis L. Murray Jr. 1. And Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah, it's as boomer as it gets, but there's good stuff on there, Lou. So let's get to it. Mayor Wu went live on Instagram, and I was cracking up at this. I know you must have been. Lay it out for people what happened and the backlash that she received.
Yeah, well, people remember two things. They remember surprise and humor. And these Defeat the Mandate Moms of WeThePeopleMassachusetts.org are really good at humor. And so they organized everyone to jump on Michelle Wu's Instagram. And I don't know what it was about, you know, free bus rides or she was going to be baking brownies or some other diddly thing that she thinks people actually care about. And she was on there and she was, if you see the tweet, which I've just retweeted, and tagged you in, Grace. It's she's expecting all these wonderful plaudits and praise, and what she gets is a steady stream of over 1,000 people from all over Massachusetts and all over the city of Boston, just telling her what they really think.
Yeah, there's comments like you're ruining the city. Why are you requiring the vaccine and the vaccine mandate? Why are you doing this? Everything's in all caps. And the key that Lou just said is it's a steady stream. These comments don't stop. So you see Michelle Wu reading these comments and trying to pretend that she's not getting inundated with criticism. Right. And so then she tries to change the subject and say, oh, well, what's my favorite thing about winter in Boston? And it's really comical. Everyone should check it out. But, Lou, on a separate note here, Boston schools will not drop.
Wait. Don't move on. Don't move on. The other thing that people have to realize when they're watching it is this is cognitive dissonance in real time. She's lying to the people. And the eye blinks, count the eye blinks and how many times she touches her face, which are both signs of sociopathic lying, by the way. But go ahead, Grace. I interrupted you.
No, you're right, though, Lou. It is telling that I think at one point she tries to claim like technical difficulty or something. She starts saying, oh, we're going to restart it or something like that.
She keeps looking over at her aide saying, do the people really think this? You can see it in her eyes. It's amazing.
It really is. Lou, very quickly here before we have to go, Boston schools will not drop the mask mandates with Massachusetts. What do you think about this, and how much pushback is Michelle Wu going to get?
Oh, she's going to get a ton of pushback. She's going to be minting Republicans in the Boston public high schools because these kids are so sick of the masks. And I just want to give a shout out to We the People of Mass, these mothers who've been doing all the organizing in front of Michelle Wu's house. They have no quit in them, and they have one success after another. You know, they finish up at Wu's house, they go to the mayor of Salem's house, and then they go to in the evening, they go to the doctor who's in charge of the health board in Salem. In 1 week's time, they got the Salem to drop all their vax mandates. They got Salem to drop all their vaccine passports. Those mothers busted into the state house the other day. They just walked right in. Now the state house is going to be open. They've had massive success. So I think Wu is going to be, you know, very, very isolated more and more.
All right, everyone, make sure you follow @LewisMurrayJr.1 @LewisLMurrayJr.1. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I think it was back in July you said inflation was going to be temporary. I think a lot of Americans are wondering what your definition of temporary is.
Well, you're being a wise guy with me a little bit.
Watch out, Lester Holt. Don't mess with Joe.
A wise guy, huh?
Who could have thought that Lester Holt, NBC, would have the audacity to ask the president about inflation when it has hit 7.5%? I did not see that one coming. I guess this is unexpected questioning from Lester Holt. Now, inflation, just a side note here, because Jake Tapper had on Dick Durbin, Democrat Senator Dick Durbin, to talk about this. And I got to give Durbin credit because at least he doesn't try to pretend it's not happening, which I think is the most concerning part about the White House, is that their Baghdad Bob approach is it's just gaslighting people. And that's frustrating, because if you've been to a grocery store in the past year, you know that inflation is very real. Dick Durbin, though, he might have been a little too honest about the situation we're in. First we'll play Jake Tapper setting up this wonderful economy and how Americans feel about it. This is Cut 10.
These supply chain worries come as we learn inflation is near a 40-year high, climbing 7.5% in just 12 months. We learned today from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's the steepest rise since 1982. President Biden today acknowledging that inflation is putting stress on Americans' budgets. It's also a huge political liability for President Biden. A new CNN poll today shows that nearly 6 in 10 Americans disapprove of Biden's performance as president. Much of that is driven by his handling of the economy. 62% of Americans disapprove of Biden's handling of the economy, while 37% approve.
While 37% are Twitter bots. I just don't know how anyone can approve of this economy. But let's hear what Dick Durbin had to say. He's here to give us some hope that things aren't that bad. Cut 11.
There's a new CNN poll today with not great news for President Biden and the Democrats in terms of job approval. Strikingly, 56% of respondents in our poll who disapprove of Biden's job say he has made zero moves that they approve of. Zero. Not on coronavirus, not on the economy, not even on getting a cat. Do you think President Biden is doing everything he can to reach these voters?
Listen, Jake, we're in the doldrums at this point, and I think it really all relates back to that inflation situation together with the pandemic.
Doldrums.
Come on, man.
You don't hear that every day. Tell us something we don't know. He almost said that like, oh, come on, Jake, don't worry about it. He said, oh, come on, we're in the doldrums. Like, oh, is that supposed to, you know that that's a bad thing, right? And by the way, I don't appreciate how Jake said people don't agree with the White House cat. Willow did not deserve to be thrown into this mess. All right? Willow was a hardworking.
Everybody wants to be a cat. Because the cat's the only cat who knows where it's at.
You know what we need? We need the Reba McEntire song. A single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids and never stops. That was Willow. She was working hard on the farm. She was doing everything she could to make a better life for herself. And she had the unfortunate situation of being picked out by Dr. Jill. And now she's being mentioned by Lester Holt. How dare you, Lester? I'm sorry, not Lester Holt. Jake Tapper. Willow's a survivor. She did not deserve this. She did not choose this life. It shows her. Anyway, though, I'm sorry. This week has been
much the way Joe was not asked to run. Willow was at the motel hotel wearing just a towel, shaving cream on her face, and si se puede way, Jill Biden shows up and says, "You kitten, you're coming with us.
You're coming with us. You're part of the plan to build back better." Jared, I have to say, we've been on a roll this week. Yesterday, I had a complete hour plan, and we spent the first hour talking about hot dogs, and now we're talking about Reba McEntire and Willow the Cat. And you know what? I don't hate it. I can't complain. It's Friday.
Imagine a world with an endless supply of hot dogs. You could have a hot dog anytime you wanted. They'd be so abundant, they'd become our currency. 20 hot dogs would equal roughly a nickel.
Is that Joe Biden? Or is that Harry Carey? All right, back to business here, sir. My producer is getting me all off track. Let's get back to, now, inflation is actually going to be a big ad for the NRCC, the National Republican Congressional Committee. They're running an ad in the Super Bowl, and it's going to be centered on Bidenflation, spiking prices, empty shelves, or as Joe Biden likes to call it, a bunch of malarkey, a bunch of B-roll. So there's going to be a lot of B-roll, I think, in this ad. And what's interesting is that also in the Super Bowl, before the Super Bowl, is this interview with Joe Biden and Lester Holt, which I would like to get back to here. He was also asked about masks. And a weird thing is happening where if you look very closely, you can tell there's a difference in the way the media is covering Democratic governors like Phil Murphy getting rid of masks versus DeSantis governors like Ron DeSantis getting rid of masks. Actually, there was a wonderful thread today by Drew Holden. If you don't follow him, I highly suggest it. He put together an entire side-by-side thread, which remind me, I do have to send this to Howie, of outlets and how they covered each one. For example, CNN. This was August of 2021. This 12-year-old, I should probably read it in a reporter voice, right? Because the reporters have the Leslie Stahl-esque voice. Okay. This 12-year-old wrote a letter to her school board in Florida urging them to mandate mask wearing in schools to protect all students and staff, but mostly her little brother. That's pretty intense.
That was very good.
Hey, Ron, you ready for that? That's on you. This is not good, Grandma Killer. And now let's go to this week, today. As many states see declines in their daily COVID-19 case numbers and hospitalization rates, some have moved forward with plans to lift a significant mitigation measure, mask mandates in schools.
It's a hell of a lot of journalism.
And how's this one? This is, again, August 2021. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis banned schools from requiring masks. It's like an oxymoron. You ban them from having to do something. You gave them the option to do what they wanted. That didn't sit well with this 12-year-old. And this week, Democratic governors outpace the White House with masking pullbacks. Oh, they're just outpacing the White House. Is the White House going to...
He gets two scoops of vanilla ice cream.
Is the White House going to come out about this outpacing like they did with Ron DeSantis and say, he's just got to get out of the way. Phil Murphy's just got to get out of the way. Okay? No, I don't think they are. Instead, what we're getting is these comments from Joe Biden. Let's play cut four, please.
Are you afraid, though, that some states and cities are moving too quickly to loosen indoor mask mandates?
Well, you know, it's... I committed that I would follow the science as put forward by the CDC and the federal people. And I think it's probably premature, but it's a tough call.
The federal people?
He's just taking his orders from Dr. Fauci, who, again, haven't seen that much of lately. You know, we have a where in the world is Kamala Harris. Where in the world is Dr. Fauci? We might need to start implementing that.
The Fauci ouchie.
Now, let's also play cut five, please, Jared.
And the question is, with these governors making these moves, does it begin to make the government, the CDC, irrelevant, that people will gravitate toward, you know, the advice that really fits their worldview, that this thing feels like it's over?
Well, look, I think it's one thing to talk about masks other than to talk about shots and boosters and the like. But it's, you know, look, it is confusing. It's worrisome to people. They're trying to figure out. But what I've tried to do, I've tried to make sure we have all the vaccines needed, all the boosters needed, all the masks needed, all the protection that's needed.
It's like he's speaking in cursive. All his words are attached together, you know? There's no pauses.
As you can see, I didn't get my English lessons.
No, of course not. Hey, by the way, I would like a transcript of this when it finally comes out, and I'll tell you what word I'm going to look up. Because every time I watch a Joe Biden interview or press conference or whatever, TikTok, there's always certain things that stick out to me, like habits he has. He says, look, all the time. Whenever he's asked a question, if he starts going down the wrong path and he doesn't know how to get out of it, he just goes, look, look, look. We're looking. We've been looking for a full year, bro. We don't like what we see. We actually would prefer to look away. But I will be tuning in for this interview because I'm a glutton for punishment and I want to see more. Congrats to NBC. This is the first thing I'm going to be watching from them in quite some time. All right. Now, I also want to play a little bit more of this Putin talk. If you are concerned about the way Putin is probably licking his chops, looking at America right now and our leader, this should give you some faith that we're going to be okay. Cut three.
Given the size of this buildup, has the inertia reached a point where it's inevitable that they have no choice but to invade?
Well, look, I've spoken with Putin. I've spoken with every NATO leader. I've brought them together like I think they've never been as coordinated in modern history, NATO leaders, about what to do if.
Pause that for one sec. That's a Trump move.
That was very Trumpian.
You know, where's Taylor? We might need Taylor to do a little, I've brought them together in a way they've never been. That was a very braggadocio moment from Joe Biden, which I thought we elected him because he doesn't do things like that, because he's humble and he whispers and he likes dogs, ones that he doesn't send away.
Sounding very orangey.
Yes. Trumpkin, perhaps. All right, let's keep playing this.
In modern history, NATO leaders about what to do if Putin moves. The question is, he knows, he has to know, that if he does, the entire circumstance for Russia changes worldwide, changes overnight. The cost to Russia, both in terms of reputational cost and economic cost, would be profound.
What would it be? Profound?
Reputational cost and economic cost would be profound.
Oh, profound. Oh,
profound. Sorry. Yes, profound.
I didn't get my English lessons from Jill either. And that might be why I'm so confused listening to all of this.
Si, se puede!
I know that we already played. Oh, and then we should play. We're going to get into Afghanistan with David Harsanyi. He has a really, really great piece in Town Hall. Everyone should check it out. But before we get into that, can we just play the classic mix-up? Sometimes you just have a classic mix-up. Cut 8.
And there was no way we were ever going to unite Ukraine. I mean, excuse me, Iraq, Afghanistan. No way that was going to happen.
Yeah, whatever.
Classic mix-up.
At this point, yeah, who cares?
Just, one of those African countries.
This is fine. You know, this is the meme of the dog sitting in the fire and just going, this is fine. Everything's fine.
Ukraine, Iraq, Afghanistan. I don't know. One of those places near Nebraska.
By the way, Nick Arema from Red State has a piece, and she writes, Biden snaps at reporter and rejects reality in acid bath of an interview. I can hear you laughing, even though your mic's on. Biden told him he wouldn't send troops into Ukraine to rescue Americans if Russia invaded Ukraine because that could trigger a world war and things could go crazy quickly. He said there was no scenario in which he would send troops to rescue Americans. There's not. That's a world war when Americans and Russia start shooting at one another. Do we have that sound? Let's try to find that. Yikes. Once again, even if this is what I like, Nick Arema writes why this is so absurd. Even if you don't want to trigger fighting with Russia, and even if you want Americans to get out now, you don't say there are no circumstances in which you wouldn't rescue Americans because you don't want to face the Russians. That's incredibly weak and problematic. Plus, you're basically signaling to the Russians not to worry about the possibility of hostilities with the U.S. if they invade while there are Americans still there. Joe Biden won't do anything, so come in now. I can't believe how incredibly ignorant Biden is. It's more of a stream of consciousness. Like he's working through a basic grasp of what's going on the world stage with Lester Holt. You know, he's trying to understand it himself. And so he's saying all of the quiet parts out loud. And it would be a lot funnier if it wasn't so damn scary. 844-500-4242. We have so much more of this. Let's play one more here, Jared, before we go. Let's play cut 6, please. This is Joe Biden on COVID one more time. Hold on.
So you acknowledge, though, a restlessness and leaders bowing to the political winds?
Oh, I do. Omicron and the variant, all the variants, have had a profound impact on the psyche of the American people.
Oh, boy. Now he's going to play therapist. Just what we need. If you're looking for that perfect winter getaway on Cape Cod, then you need to think of the Nauset Beach Inn. Cozy up next to the warm fireplace and take in the ocean view from every room. It's pet friendly, too. Tell Willow the cat she can take a break from the crazy, hectic schedule of the White House and go to the Nauset Beach Inn. And if you're worried about COVID, it's the perfect hotel as it has contact-free check-in and check-out. Each room is spacious with 2 queen-size bed. Nauset Beach Inn is the only hotel inside the Cape Cod National Seashore for oceanfront weddings, and rooms go fast at $119.99 a night. So book early at nausetbeachinn.com. Jared, I know you love the Nauset Beach Inn.
Yeah, I was there early December, and winter is a great time on the Cape, but Nauset Beach Inn is a great time on the Cape as well because you get the fire pit, so you can still be outside and you're just minutes from the beach. You can walk down to the beach, if you get a little cool. You come back, you warm up right next to the fire pit. Now, unfortunately, you can't cook hot dogs on the fire pits, but they do keep you warm.
That's true.
But yeah, it's one of the most tranquil places.
You're just trying to work in hot dogs to
every read gets the hot dog coming rooms, up. Rooms, eating pure hot dogs.
Rooms go fast at $119.99 a night, so book early at NasaBeachInn.com. That's NasaBeachInn.com. We'll be right back with your calls and with the poll question. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. It's a Reba Friday! I love Reba. I have a shirt of Reba in my car. I might have to get it for the next hour. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Their ocean view rooms with a fireplace are going fast, so book yours today for just $119.99 at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who are you rooting for in Sunday's big game? The Cincinnati Bengals or the Los Angeles Rams?
All right, so first I said no for the Bengals because Jen Psaki was making such a big deal about it. But then I learned that they hadn't won in a really long time. And then just a side note, nothing to do with the sports of it and did not affect my decision at all. But their quarterback, Joe Burrow, very, very handsome. So I will be rooting for the Bengals.
89% of the audience says they'll be rooting for the Bengals.
Yeah, it's been a while. I usually vote. I usually, if I don't have a team in the game, in the big game, I usually root for whoever hasn't won it in the longest time.
Yeah, it's tough because I have a lot of friends who actually work for the Rams. My old station, Los Angeles, is the home of the Rams. So for them, I kind of want to, but I can't root against Cincinnati. Yeah, they want to win it for Harambe. How could I go against that?
Harambe, R.I.P. Harambe. Very quickly, Adam, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thank you, Grace. I was born in 1945, right after World War II. I'm putting a die for World War III happens. This is the scenario I see, Grace. Absolutely. It's so clear. Putin is going to invade the Ukraine, period. And then China is going to take over Taiwan. And there's going to be so much confusion, so much going on. America, I love this country, but America has lost economically, period. Now we're going to lose probably militarily and be absolutely embarrassed and ashamed. And unfortunately, a lot of lives are going to be lost. So I'm sorry it's not better news, but that's how I see it, Grace.
Well, one thing I will say, Adam, is there's no question that these world leaders are watching. And they're playing the long game here. And Joe Biden constantly showing off how weak and feeble he is not helping matters. All right, we will be back with David Harsanyi. We're going to dive into this Afghanistan report. Don't go anywhere. It's Friday, and it's the Grace Curley Show.